Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. I have some evil news to share. When it was discovered that Roe v. Wade might be overthrown so that we won't be killing as many unborn babies in America, some liberal Protestant leaders went to the White House and they said, "We're Christians, we're in favor of abortion rights, we're in favor of Roe v. Wade, we want open access to abortion." Who were these liberal Protestant leaders? A representative from the Presbyterian Church USA, a representative from the United Church of Christ, one from the United Methodist Church, and there in the picture with a big cross around her neck as she advocated for abortion rights was Elizabeth Eaton, the head bishop of the very liberal Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, of which I used to be a part, and my whole church left over things like this. I mean, can you imagine being upset that maybe we won't be able to kill as many babies as we have been? This is evil. Those denominations that I just listed, they pay for abortions with offering dollars in their healthcare plans for their denominations. Now, if you need to know, there are a lot of Lutherans, Presbyterians, Methodists, of other branches of those churches that are totally against abortion. But sadly, those big Lutheran and Presbyterian groups, which are shrinking, and they should, support abortion rights. Which leads to the topic for today. I'm not a Catholic, I'm a Lutheran. I have problems with some Catholic doctrine. But God bless the Catholic Church for being very pro-life. And now and then you read in the news of a pro-abortion Catholic politician, and the bishop says to that politician, "You can't take Holy Communion until you repent." Some people think that's horrible. Some people think it's wonderful. But here's our message for today. Two questions. Number one, what are the five blessings of Holy Communion? What happens when you take communion? And then second question, should communion ever be withheld from someone? So would you take out your Bible? We turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and let me set it up first. The Apostle Paul is writing a letter to the town of Corinth in ancient Greece. Corinth was sin city of ancient Roman Empire. It was like Las Vegas. You went to Corinth to sin. The church at Corinth was pretty messed up. Paul writes 1 Corinthians 11 because there is a sin so grave in the Corinthian church that God was killing some of its members. And the sin had to do with Holy Communion. So turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's pray before we begin. Oh, Father, we pray for the churches of America that have gone over the cliff in compromising with the world. God, we pray for these denominations that they would come back to Christ. But, Lord, if they refuse, then we pray that they would shrink and die, but the people in those denominations would be moved into good churches. God, as we talk now about Holy Communion, speak to us through these words of the Apostle Paul. In Jesus' name, amen. So from about 55 A.D., here is the Apostle Paul's letter. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we start at verse 17. Paul writes, "But in giving this instruction, I do not praise you, Corinthians, because you come together not for the better, but for the worse." In other words, things had sunk so low in the Corinthian church, it would have been better had they closed the doors. And what was their problem? Well, first of all, they were fighting. Look at 1 Corinthians 11, verse 19, 18. "For in the first place, when you come together, when you come together as a church, I hear there are divisions among you, and in part I believe it." So they were fighting, they were divided, but their big sin was verse 20. "Therefore, when you meet together, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in your eating, each one takes his own supper first, and one is hungry and another is drunk." the sin of the church was they'd go to church and they'd have a meal first, a regular meal first probably, and the rich people have a lot of food and some of them are getting drunk and the poor people have almost nothing, and it was just chaos. And Paul says that's not Holy Communion. Here is what Holy Communion is. Verse 22. What, do you not have houses in which to eat and drink? Do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? No, I will not praise you in this. For I receive from the Lord Jesus what I also was delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And Paul now reminds them, remember how holy communion is. Remember the night before Jesus died, he took his disciples upstairs, gave them the Last Supper, for the first time instituted Holy Communion, to take that beautiful meal and turn it into a circus at Corinth is evil. Now we're going to see the five blessings of Holy Communion. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. The Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, verse 24, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Here's the first of the five blessings of Holy Communion. Jesus uses the word is. The first blessing is called the real presence. We experience the real presence of Christ. Somehow, in with and under the bread and wine, we get the very body and blood of Christ. I don't know how that works, but he used the word is. I think the closest you can get to God on earth is by taking Holy Communion. And when I look back on my life, what was maybe one of the holiest years of my life? It's when I was a vicar at a Lutheran university many years ago, and we took communion twice a week. And that did something for me. I know a Christian counselor who told me about a certain man who had a big sin problem, and the man hated it and tried to fight it and get over it, and he couldn't. And the counselor said, "Start taking Holy Communion regularly." And he said, that broke the bondage. The first blessing we get when we take Holy Communion, we experience the real, powerful, saving power of Jesus Christ. Blessing number two is verse 25. In the same way, Jesus also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it." The second thing we get in Holy Communion, number one, the real presence. Number two, we partake of the new covenant. Well, what is that? Well, if you read the parallel passage on the Last Supper in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus says, "This is the blood of the covenant shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." The new covenant is the forgiveness of sins. The old covenant, the Old Testament, didn't work. So now we have a new covenant, and the covenant is this. God says, "You come to my Son, trust in him, I forgive your sins." That's the new agreement. The big deal of Holy Communion is the forgiveness of sins. There was a man who committed a sin, and he's going to go to church, but he thinks, "I better not take communion this week." But he goes to church, and he does take communion. And he went up to the pastor, and he said, "Pastor, I was thinking of not taking communion today, but before church I was washing my hands, and it was as if the Lord said to me, 'If this soap can wash away your grime on your hands, cannot the blood of my Son wash away your sins?' So I took communion." I asked a friend of mine, "What do you think communion is?" And he said, "It's like a refresher course that my sins are forgiven." I've shared that before, that I know someone who has an old grandma, and when grandma was 21, she committed a certain sin. So for, 40 years, she's gone into the priest confessing that same sin over and over and over. Here's what I would tell her. Dear woman, confess that sin once, receive God's forgiveness, take Holy Communion, and never bring it up again. I'm a Lutheran. My grandpa was Lutheran. My mom was Lutheran. When grandpa was dying, I can remember my Lutheran mom being rather insistent that grandpa get Holy Communion right before he dies. And mom didn't say this, but the impression I got, and if he doesn't get it right before he dies, he's not maybe going to make it. Well, that's not the way it works. I think if you're going to take communion on Sunday and you have a heart attack from the pew to the front communion table, you still go to heaven. All of our sins are forgiven through Christ. All right, so if my sins are forgiven even before I take communion, why take it? Because there's a little bit of that Catholic grandma in all of us, and I wonder, does God really forgive me? And I am so evil. Does he really forgive my sins? And so God gives us Holy Communion as a refresher to say, yes, I forgive you your sins. I make pottery as a hobby, and I make now and then a communion chalice. And on one side, I put the words, the blood of Christ shed for you, and on the other side, I put, for the forgiveness of sins. And when I give communion to people, I like to put this side up front, because even though we're saved and we have faith, our faith is always shaky, and it's a reminder, a refresher course, an assurance that God, through Christ, forgives all my sins. That's what communion is all about. Next thing that happens in communion, look at verse 25. 1 Corinthians 11:25. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. We get the real presence. We get the forgiveness of sins. Third thing we get in Holy Communion, we remember. Now, when I was a little boy, we moved to a new neighborhood when I was 7. And I met Judy, who lived right behind us. And we became great little friends. We're still friends. We still, on a rare occasion, communicate. She lives way out in Washington State. So some years ago, I went out to Washington, and I visited Judy. And she took out this box. And out of the box, she took an old diary that she kept when she was 10 years old. And she read it to me. Today, Tommy and I went up to the schoolyard and we played on the swing set, and she just read, it was so sweet. And you know what you're doing when you take Holy Communion? You're remembering the sweetest thing that ever happened to you when Jesus died for your sins. There's a legend. This is not in the Bible and it's not true, but there's a legend about Zacchaeus. Do you remember little Zacchaeus, short guy who couldn't see Jesus above the crowd, so he climbed up the tree and Jesus saved him out of the tree? Well, the story, the legend goes, Zacchaeus is an old man, and he goes out of the house every night, and then he comes back with a peaceful look on his face. And his wife is wondering, what is he doing? So one night she followed him. And she saw him walk through Jericho to the other side of town, go up to the sycamore tree, and he put his arms around this tree, hugged the tree for a while, and came home. And his wife said, Zacchaeus, I followed you tonight. What was that about? And he said, that's the tree where he saved me. And I love to go back to that tree to remember the day he saved me. When you take Holy Communion, you're putting your arms around the cross of Jesus Christ, and you're remembering where he saved you. We get the real presence in communion. We get the forgiveness of sins, the new covenant. We get a remembrance when we take communion. And the next thing that happens in Holy Communion in verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim or you preach the Lord's death until he comes. So the next thing that happens when you take communion, you preach a sermon. You're telling the person to your left and to your right, I proclaim the Lord's death. I preach that Christ's death on the cross is the only thing that will save this sinner. That's an offensive message today. You mean you have to believe in Christ? If I reject Christ, I'm not going to be forgiven? That's what it says. Jesus said, I'm the only way to the Father, John chapter 14. And when you take Holy Communion, you're proclaiming that it's only the death of Christ that can save you. Next blessing of Holy Communion It says in verse 26, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Here's the last blessing of communion. We get a foretaste. Jesus said in the parallel Matthew passage, Matthew 26, I tell you, disciples, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine with you again until I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. There is a day coming called the marriage supper of the Lamb. And at the end of time, all the Christians of all the ages will sit around this huge table. Jesus will take out the wine again, and Holy Communion will be consummated and fulfilled when we partake of the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's going to be the most amazing day of your life. There was a movie once that made me cry. It was a secular film, not a Christian film, called Places in the Heart with Sally Field. She was a farm widow. And in the movie, this black teenager gets killed near the beginning of the movie, I think, by the KKK. And then later in the movie, her white hired hand gets killed. And at the end of the movie, Sally Field goes to church. And she's sitting in church, and they're passing the bread and the wine through the pew. And all of a sudden, here's the black teenager that died at the beginning of the movie. And then they go up a few more rows, and here's the white hired hand that got killed later. And then the camera pans back. They're in heaven. You didn't see that coming. And there is coming a day. It's called the marriage supper of the Lamb, when we will have Holy Communion consummated for eternity with Jesus Christ himself. Let me share you what I thought of. I'm real nostalgic, and now and then I go back home to Omaha and I drive through my old neighborhood. So when I was 7 years old, I moved out of one neighborhood to the new neighborhood, but I'm driving through the neighborhood I lived in till I was seven, and I look at my old house. And I look across the street to the Lance's house. That's where little Carol Lance and her brothers and sisters live. We had so much fun playing together. And this is decades later. And I'm thinking, I wonder who lives there now. So some middle-aged lady is mowing the lawn, and I did something uncharacteristic. I stopped my car, and I got out of the car, and she stopped mowing, and I said, you know, excuse me, but I just wonder who lives here. I used to live across the street many years ago. My name's Tom Brock, and this lady, maybe in her early 50s, Tommy! She comes over and hugs me. It was Carol. As a grown-up lady, her mom, Gladys, still lives in the house. And Carol took me into this kitchen that I remember from a gazillion years ago. We had the most wonderful talk about what we did as kids. And then Gladys, her mother, had been grocery shopping. And Gladys comes into the house with some groceries, and Carol says, Mom, guess who this is? I remember Gladys she had no idea. It's Tommy Brock. And Gladys almost dropped the girl. Tommy came over and gave me this big bear hug. It was such a wonderful hour. I drove away from that house just feeling like I was on a cloud. Can you imagine what it's going to be like at the marriage supper of the Lamb when you are with all your Christian loved ones? You'll also be with people you've never met, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the Christian of the ages will gather around the table of the Lord for the great consummation of Holy Communion, the marriage supper of the Lamb. You get a foretaste of that every time you take Holy Communion. Last question for today. Those are the five blessings of communion. Here's the last question for today. Should communion ever be withheld from someone? Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner, doesn't mean you can ever be worthy for communion, but it does mean you don't get drunk on it like the Corinthians were. Whoever does that shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Here's the point I want to make. Examine yourself first. before you take communion, I always do this. Take some time to think on your life, confess whatever sins you need to confess, and then go up for Holy Communion. You examine yourself first. And then, verse 29, for he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you, Corinthians, are weak and sick, and a number sleep. In other words, God had killed some of these people for abusing Holy Communion. So the last thing I want to say on this is, know that God can judge through Holy Communion. Normally, he forgives and he saves through Holy Communion, but if you insist on living in impenitent sin, God can kill you. God can judge you through Holy Communion. So let's answer the question, is it ever proper to withhold communion from someone? The answer is yes, out of love for them. I mean, earlier in the same letter, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul says if there's a so-called Christian who's living in impenitent sin, Paul says don't even eat with such a one. So yes, it's hard to do, but we sometimes have to say you can't take communion until you repent. Well, I'll close with this. There was a church service going on, and this was a church where they passed the communion through the pews, and this one woman was crying, and she went like this and refused to take the cup. And the pastor, I think, knew this woman and what was going on. He went down into the pew, took the little cup, pressed it into her hand, and said, "Take it, dear woman. It's for sinners. It's for sinners." And I just want to say this. If you've committed a sin this week, but you're sorry, go take communion. But if you're not sorry, wait. I mean, if you're a man and you looked at pornography this week and you're sorry, take communion. But are you keeping the pornography? Are you living in that? Don't take communion yet. Maybe you're a woman that had sex with your boyfriend this week and you're sorry you did it, take communion. But if you're living with your boyfriend, you continue to sin and you have no repentance, I wouldn't take Holy Communion. Communion is for sinners, but it's for repentant sinners who want forgiveness and a new life in Christ. Let's review this. What are the great blessings of Holy Communion? Number one, we experience the real presence of Jesus Christ himself. We partake of the new covenant, which is the forgiveness of sins. We remember what he did on the cross. We preach to people that only Christ's death will save me. And we get a great foretaste of that feast to come. Amen.
Welcome to the portion of the Pastor Study where we ask Pastor Brock questions regarding the Bible. Pastor Brock, can I give communion to myself?
You know, I hear of people doing that, or before the cameras rolled, you talked about a certain Christian preacher who says, okay, let's do it, and you find some bread and wine in your house or grape juice, and I don't like that. Where in the New Testament does a person give Holy Communion to themselves? It's always a group thing. It's a body thing. So if you need communion because you're shut in, call the church and say, could someone bring me communion? But I don't give communion to myself. I need my brothers and sisters. Part of the symbolism of the one bread is that we're all one body in Christ. So I wouldn't do that. Mm-hmm. No.
Could you ever take communion every day? Do you recommend that?
Catholics who go to Mass every day do that. I think it's fine.
Okay.
Nothing in the Bible says you can only take it once a month or something like that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you ever withheld communion from someone? Isn't that being judgmental?
I've had to do it. I mean, here's a young woman who was living with her boyfriend and kept coming, and I confronted her. You know, 1 Corinthians 6 says fornicators won't go to heaven. You need to repent of that. And she kept living with them, and she kept coming up for communion. Finally, I had to say, you know, until you get that straight, you can't take communion here. I've had to do that a few times. It's hard to do, but if you love people and you care about their soul, you do it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Should I take communion if I haven't been baptized?
No. In the New Testament, you all got baptized first, then they took communion. So I would, if you haven't been baptized, get baptized, call your local pastor or find somebody, and we'll get you baptized, and then take communion.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jeremiah 1:5 states, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you a prophet to the nations." Why do some churches support abortion?
Yeah, a good question. Why? You've got the most anti-abortion passage of Scripture is Psalm 119, where it talks about God knitting us together in our mother's womb. God is doing that. Mm-hmm. And then you've got the unborn John the Baptist inside of his mother leaping for joy when the unborn Jesus walks in the room with Mary carrying the child. So how can supposedly Christian denominations support abortion? Mm-hmm. It's evil. And what's super evil, and I mentioned them before, the ELCA Lutherans, BCUSA Presbyterians, United Church of Christ, and some others, to pay for abortions with offering dollars mm-hmm. in the church's health care plan. One of the things that got me and you and others to leave the ELCA Lutheran Church for a more biblical branch of Lutheranism is I went to the convention and we got to the microphone and said, "How can we kill babies with the offerings of the people of God?" We lost 2-1. Mm-hmm. And I came back and I said to Hope Lutheran Church, "Let's get out of here." And eventually we did.
Mm-hmm. Didn't Jesus give Judas Holy Communion? And wouldn't that mean we should offer communion to all people?
What more liberal people do is they say, "Well, look, Jesus gave Judas the Last Supper. Mm-hmm. So who are you to withhold it from anyone, mm-hmm. baptized or unbaptized, atheist or whatever? Everybody's to come to the table of God." Not mm-hmm. according to the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11 that we just studied. So did Jesus give Judas communion? There's a controversy about that. You read the passages together. Mm-hmm. Did Judas leave before Jesus actually gave mm-hmm. the Last Supper? It's not clear. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. But, you know, let's just assume, okay, he gave him Holy Communion. And what happened to Judas? He hung himself. Mm-hmm. That's not a good of example of why we should give Holy Communion to people. You know, so there you go.
Exactly. How should I prepare before I take Holy Communion?
I like to take time alone. You can go through the Ten Commandments, thought, word, and deed. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. God, forgive me for putting this before you this week or that. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. God, forgive me for misusing your name here. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. God, forgive me for not loving your church and people better. Obey your father and mother. God, forgive me for sassing back. You know, go mm-hmm. through the Ten Commandments and you'll know your sins and it's time to take communion.
Okay, I think we got time for one quick one.
Okay.
How often should I take Holy Communion?
Well, you know, in Acts chapter 2, it says the early church devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the breaking of the bread, and prayers. Breaking of the bread very possibly is a reference to communion. So I think they did it often in the early church. It doesn't ever say you have to do it every Sunday, but why not?
Why not?
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us today. See you next week.
Thank you for watching the Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write the Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.